Hi, welcome or welcome back to Faith Talks. My name is Deborah. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a faith-based content creator. I make content sharing all about my journey with God to encourage you on your journey with Him. And that's exactly what Faith Talks is about as well, to encourage you on your journey with the Lord. So welcome. Welcome to the podcast. It is such a blessing to have you here. How are you doing? How is your week and your weekend been? These episodes always come online on Monday, but you might not be listening on a Monday though. Anyways, how are you doing? How has your week been? I hope you're doing good. And if not, then please know that the Lord is with you through whatever you're going through. This life is full of mountains and valleys, but even in the valleys, God is right beside you. You are never alone. We're in this together as well, but more importantly, the Lord is with you. So please know that. But welcome to the podcast. In today's episode, I want to be talking about your birthright. I just want to have a little chat about your birthright and your inheritance. And you might be like, why is that relevant for me to know? Why do I need to know that information? All of us have a birthright. A birthright is just a right that you have based on where you were born at what time. For example, you might have the right to free healthcare, not because you've done anything, but just because you were born in a country that provides free healthcare or free education. Maybe you have the birthright that you get to live in a certain house, your parents' house. Maybe your birthright is that your dad has a specific company that you get to work in. We all have rights that we basically didn't have to work for. Things that we get to walk in and that we get to experience simply for the fact that we were born somewhere. You don't have to do anything for it. And maybe you're like, well, I don't think I have much of a birthright because my parents don't have much to pass on to me. There's not much to it. That's a possibility as well. But in that case, and in all cases, whether you have an amazing birthright here on earth or maybe you don't have that much that you inherited, I just want to say that this birthright here on earth is not our only one. We as children of God, as followers of Christ, have received a new birthright through being born again in the family of Christ. You know how we say after you get baptized that you have been born again? It's because you've been born again into the family of Christ, which means that you now also have a whole new birthright with that. For today's Faith Talks episode, I'm going to be reading from my New Living Translation Bible. It's this one right here. It looks very pretty. I will leave a link down below if you're interested in getting this one also. I find this translation very clear to understand, and I really like this one. In John 1, verse 12 to 13, it reads, "But to all who believed him," so this is about Jesus, "to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." So this is speaking about that rebirth that we have experienced through faith by following Christ. We have a new birth. Okay, why is that important? Why is that relevant? Why does that matter? This is so significant because you need to know the things that are attached to this birthright into the family of Christ. It is beyond anything. There is not a birthright in the world that comes close to the things that you get to walk in through your birthright in Christ. It's the most valuable birthright there is. And this is important to know because these days the enemy is causing confusion and he's taking our eyes off of the fact that we as Christians have this birthright. Because when we don't see the significance in our birthright in heaven, in the things that we get to inherit in eternity, the things that are to come, eternity is much longer than our time here on earth, right? The birthright that we're walking in right now through our physical birth, it's only our birthright for a short amount of time. The birthright that we have in eternity, the birthright of Christ, is so much more significant. But the enemy doesn't want us to know that. He does not want us to see the value in our birthright that we have for eternity, because when you don't see the value in your birthright, you are willing to trade it in for temporary things. When you don't see the significance of being a child of God and the things that are attached to that, not because of anything you've done, but just by being born into the family of Christ, you're willing to trade it. There's not going to be value to this birthright to you. So why does it matter if you do certain things? And this, me saying this, might already have got your mind going to this story. But I want to look at the story of Esau in the Bible. This story is found in Genesis 25, verse 27 to 34. So what happens in this story is that Isaac, who was Abraham's son, remember Abraham who was praying for a son, he was very old. Eventually the promise did come. Isaac was his promise. Isaac later on had two sons. He had Esau and Jacob. Esau was the firstborn, and being the firstborn, that birthright weighs a lot compared to the secondborn. Because you are the firstborn in a line, the firstborns are the ones who get a right to the throne when it's a family of royalty. The firstborn birthright holds a certain weight to it. Just because they were born first, they get to take on all the rights that their father had. So what happens in this story is, when you read through it, it's a bit crazy. Like, why would you even do that? To us reading through it, it doesn't seem to make sense. But what happens is that Esau, the firstborn, likes to be out. He likes to hunt. He's like this wild guy. He likes to be out and about. And his brother, Jacob, the secondborn, likes to be at home. He likes to stay at home, be around the camp, doesn't go far from home. And one day, I'm going to be reading from verse 29. So Genesis 25, verse 29, it says, "One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, 'I'm starving. Give me some of that red stew.' 'All right,' Jacob replied, 'but trade me your rights as the firstborn son.' 'Look, I'm dying of starvation,' said Esau. 'What good is my birthright to me now?' But Jacob said, 'First you must swear that your birthright is mine.' So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn." Reading through this story is just like, why would you do that? Like, for real? You were hungry, so you like, what? That makes no sense, right? Or does it? I now want to jump to Hebrews 12, verse 16 to 17, because here Paul is reflecting on this story and he's telling us something about it. Here it reads, "Make sure that no one is godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterwards, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears." And as I read this about that story of Esau, I was like, this is not about Esau at all, is it? We can read through this story chuckling all we want, like, he was so dumb, why would you do that? But looking at our lives, don't we do this on the daily too? Don't we make this bad trade every single day? We crave, our flesh craves things, like Esau craved a meal. Right now, we want to sleep around with these people because our body is craving that attention. Right now, we want to do all of these things that the Bible tells us not to do because they're not good for us. These sinful things that enslave us, but our flesh craves it all the time, right? So what we do on the daily is that we, craving something right now, like that meal, like that hunger, we're hungry right now, so we're not thinking about the significance of what we're actually trading. We trade our birthright as citizens of heaven, as firstborn children of the Most High, for a single meal because we crave something right now. The enemy has things so twisted that we don't realize. Our sight becomes so short-sighted. We just focus on what's going on right here in this world. I want to be popular now. I want to be famous right now. I want to sleep around with people right now. I want to drink and party right now. But what you're doing with these temporary fulfillments of these cravings is that you're trading in your birthright by saying, right now, I'm hungry for these things, so I'm going to give into it, even though the Word of God says, these things lead to death. These things are sinful. These things are leading you the wrong way. But you don't think about that. You don't think that you're putting on the line what's to come for the things that you want right now. And the thing with the cravings of the flesh, like Esau, is that you're going to be hungry again. it's such a bad trade because you're going to be hungry. Give it a few hours and you're going to want it again. You're never going to be satisfied. These fleshly, worldly cravings, it's never going to be enough. I know this because I fell into that trap myself of lustful cravings. Until you recognize, I need to cut this off. I have to start strangling this part of my flesh out because it's never going to stop. Until that moment, you're going to keep making these trades over and over again. And this is what the enemy doesn't want you to know, that you're trading your birthright into the family of Christ for these temporary things because you think that right now this is fulfilling you. This is what you need. This is the thing to do, when actually you don't even know the trade that you're making, because it's so significant what it says here in Hebrews 12, verse 17, where it says that afterwards, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he cried bitter tears. When that day comes, when we stand before the Lord, it's going to be too late. We cannot say, I made a bad choice. Give me back my birthright. I traded it for temporary things, but I want my birthright back now. It's like, well, it's too late. You made your choice. You were hungry in those moments, so you chose to exchange this. That was the choice you made. When you think about that, it's like, this is heavy. This is heavy because that day is going to come. These temporary cravings that we all have are so not worth trading our birthright for, but that's what the enemy doesn't want us to know. He does not want us to think about the eternal, about what's to come. Esau showed contempt for his birthright, it said, means that he didn't show respect to it. He just disregarded it. He didn't see the importance in it. And that's what we very often do as well when we're like, I'm going to do this right now because I'm craving this. But us as followers of Christ have a hope, right? We put our full hope and trust in Jesus. We cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus, saying, Lord, you made that sacrifice that you made for the atonement of sins for me. Therefore, when we stand before the Lord, he sees us as Jesus is. Jesus has the birthright of the firstborn. He's the firstborn son. So as Jesus is, we are. When you place your full trust and expectancy on the Lord, you are covered. But that does not mean that we can continue to disrespect the birthright that he's given us when we know better. When we know better, we cannot afford to make trades that cost us so much. You show contempt to your birthright also when you do know the significance in it, when you do know that Jesus died on the cross for you, yet I'm going to go and do this. After church, I'm going to go here, or before church, I'm going to go out here. And I'm not saying this to judge anyone because I've been there. That's the thing. I've done this. I was lukewarm for a very, very, very long time because I did not see the price. I did not see the heaviness, the significance. And then that Bible verse comes to mind of the 10 virgins with the oil lamps. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. Why do we think we still have time to go and live this lifestyle and trade our birthright and then be like, oh Lord, now will you please cover me? I repent now. Like, who says that Jesus is not going to come back while we're out in the club wilding? Again, I'm saying this because I've done this. We're human. We're going to fall. It's a part of life. In this fallen and broken world, none of us are perfect. Only Jesus was that. And we can't attain that. But that does not mean that we can deliberately go on doing things that we know we should not be doing. Because again, we know better. As ones who have been adopted into the family of Christ, we should know better. We should show respect. Respect for the sacrifice that was made. Respect for the birthright that we've inherited that we don't even deserve. We don't deserve to be adopted into the family of Christ, to have a whole new birthright, yet God loves us so much that he said, no, I want you to be a part of this family. So I just want to make you aware of the significance of your birthright, that the birthright you have in eternity, even though you might not see it right now, it is coming. And eternity is, that's eternal, that's infinite, that's a very long time versus this little glimpse that we have right here. Esau trading his birthright, he was hungry in the moment, his flesh craved things, so he didn't think about the trade he was making until the day came that that birthright was significant to him. And it's like, well, now it's too late. You have to know the things that you have a right to just because you are a child of God. There is so much, there are treasures stored up for you. The Lord has prepared a house for you. The riches, there's so much. We can't even wrap our heads around what is waiting for us in heaven. Most important thing to be this close to Jesus. Just that is like wild, that we get to spend eternity with the creator of the universe, with the one who created everything we see. It's not worth trading that for these temporary things. Looking at that story of Esau, we can all see that that was a bad trade. We can all laugh at it. But look, see that in your own life as well. See that trade that you're making, that I'm making. We're all guilty of doing this. And this is why we have to see the significance in our birthright, because that's when you start to respect it. When those cravings come up, that's when we can suppress our flesh and say, nah, this hurts. And it hurts to suppress your flesh. It's painful when you're so hungry and you have to abstain. That's not easy. It's a process of tears. It's a process of heartache. But it's going through that, that it slowly becomes easier. It's going through that, that you see this hunger wasn't going to kill me. Not giving in to these lustful desires wasn't the end of me. I'm still standing. I'm still here. But until we start suppressing our flesh, these cravings are going to keep coming back. It's never enough. And that's where sin enslaves you, because it's never enough. You're going to want more. You're going to need it again and again and again with whatever it is. Ask the Lord to help you. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Jesus, he wants you. He wants you to take that inheritance and run with it. Run the race. He wants you to see the fruits of that inheritance. He is rooting for you. The Lord wants good things for you. He doesn't want you to trip up. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will see the significance of your birthright in heaven, that you will see everything that is to come, everything that you can call yours, not through anything that you've done, but just simply through accepting Jesus into your life, into being accepted into the family of Christ. I pray that in Jesus' mighty name that you'll be able to walk in that, and may the Lord be with you. May he cover you with his grace, with his strength. It's a process. There's a grace. Extend God's grace to yourself, but don't abuse it, because the Lord sees the motives of your heart. You can't afford to know better and not do better. We're all going to be judged according to what we knew. If you knew and you still decided to do it anyway, then can you really blame anybody else? We have to take accountability ourselves as well. Yes, the enemy is crafty. He's constantly throwing us off. But if we always blame everything on the enemy, then we will never take accountability for anything. So know that there's hope, that Jesus is with you, and start to see the significance in that birthright that you get to walk in. Just because you're a child of God, hey, there's so much waiting for you. You don't even know. So that's it for today's Faith Talks episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. May the Lord bless you and keep you. He goes ahead of you. He goes behind you. You are surrounded. Never forget that. Speak that out over yourself and open the Word of God to reaffirm those biblical truths, because those are the truth, okay? So yeah, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll be back again next week for another episode. But maybe this time, that's what I-